Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the ProWrestling.net All Access Podcast. This is Will Pruitt here with your TNA Impact audio review for February 7th, 2013. It is February 8th, 2013. And before we get into the show, just want to give a quick plug to the ProWrestling.net members section. You know, if you listen to this a lot, you know .net membership. We all think it's a great deal. I was a member prior to starting to write for the site. I have paid for the site. I found it to be a great deal when I did pay for the site. Now that I'm writing for the site, I still really enjoy the content that I'm getting on a weekly basis. I'm talking about the .net weekly show with Jason Powell and Chris Shore, going over the news of the week, often breaking first run news, offering analysis and insight, talking about Jason Powell's weekly Q&A. Again, if you've got a question for Jason, if you want him to maybe approach his sources about something that isn't a really stupid question, he'll be happy to do that for you, get back to you in Q&A, and it's always an educational listen. And, you know, we have fun in that, too. The .NET Countdown Show, myself and Jake Barnett, weekly, counting down the top five and bottom three moments of the week, another show really just full of analysis. And, you know, I'm not going to sing my own praises, so I'll talk about Jake real quick. Jake is you guys listen to him weekly on the All Access podcast with Chris Shore when they do SmackDown, and Jake is just a really smart wrestling mind, a fun guy to talk to and all of that. And weekly reviews of TNA Impact that aren't always All Access, weekly reviews of Raw that aren't always All Access, reviews of pay-per-view, that's just on the audio side. We're talking about ad-free access to the site. We're talking about the revamp.net member forum with a great group of guys. Really fun to be a part of that. You can watch TV shows in there with these guys. You can comment on whatever you want, have fun. Just, you know, we keeps it real in the .net member forum. Aside from that, just a really great product. It's something I believe in. If you want to give it a shot, it's WrestleMania season, man. If you're going to go with a pro wrestling website membership, this is the best time of year to do it. If you want to give that a shot, go to prowrestling.net. There's a membership link on the right-hand side of the page. We offer an annual membership. The low is $5.50 a month when you take that. We offer a six-month membership. I think it comes in around the same rate, maybe around $6 a month. And then we offer just a monthly membership if you just want to give it a shot. Maybe just, hey, I want to get through WrestleMania, see if I still like it. That's $7.50 for a month. Honestly, all of them, so very worth it. I really hope you guys go over and check it out. And even if you're not going to check out the membership side of things, there's a ProWrestling.net app on your smartphone. Any smartphone you got, go to your app store, ProWrestling.net. Phenomenal way to keep up with what we're doing on the go. On top of that, if you're an iPhone user, you've got our All Access audio app you can use. If you are a member, you can access the forum from the app as well. The apps are great. Subscribe to the podcast, review us in iTunes, do all that. There are a lot of ways you can support ProWrestling.net, and we would greatly appreciate it if you would do so. And if I sound a little more monotone than usual, I woke up this morning with a sore throat, so .NET staff member Zim is going to be psyched because it means I probably won't sing anything. But just, you know, going to get through this audio, power through for you guys. This was an interesting show. Had the big UK show feel. It was the second week in a row in Manchester, and for that fact, it was kind of fun to watch. But on the other side of things, and Jason Powell said this in his live coverage, and I'm going to repeat it because I think it was a really apt point. It felt like a UK house show that got taped and put on television. And what I mean by that is it was full of happy endings. It was full of, not a whole lot of storylines were forwarded. Not a whole lot happened on this show. We do have new tag team champions. We'll get into that. But aside from that, nothing really big happened, and nothing really even all that memorable happened. So I'm going to launch into the show from the beginning. If you want to follow along with me, I'll be using Jason Powell's live coverage as an outline here, and we'll get into it. The show kicked off with your previously on Impact video package, and this was something that kind of bothered me. They replayed the wedding again and again. Like, guys, we know the wedding happened. I'm not going to say that you shouldn't talk about it as you're doing this, as you're doing the show, but it's kind of becoming just every week we're getting a replay of the wedding on that on the previously on Impact package, and I'm getting a little bit tired of the wedding. just, you know, I'm tired of the angle, in a way. Tired of seeing it constantly. And then it, of course, covered all the way up to Bully Ray being instated and that Aces and Eights, you know, tables match being made with Sting and Bully against the Aces and the Eights. And then, I believe there were... Oh, and they also recapped Wes Briscoe and Garrett Bischoff turning on Kurt Angle and joining the Aces and Eights last week. .NET members know how I felt about that big reveal at the end of the show. And I think, by the way, I just said big reveal. Everyone now knows that I was not too high on it. The Aces and Eights came out from the side of the arena. Apparently, their club, they have, like, a mobile clubhouse that they park at the side entrance to every arena now. They don't use no entryways, y'all. What's weird is we actually see more of the Aces and Eights entrances on these UK shows than we do of the regular talent entrance, because they, for whatever reason, don't show their regular talents coming down the ramp. They show them already in the ring or halfway down the ramp. That's another pet peeve of mine on these UK shows, that we're not... I really like entrances. They're actually, honestly, probably one of my favorite parts of wrestling. And I know that sounds silly, but the whole production thing that goes into an entrance is wonderful. And I feel like TNA is robbing themselves of both a big pop and some really fun moments in the UK with that big crowd. So, oh, and we had Todd Kennelly, Mike Tenay, and Taz as our commentators for this show. And, yeah, they didn't do so hot at moments either. So Aces and Eights are in the ring, and D-Von kind of says, hey, it was all just a plan to get you in the middle of the ring, Angle. Ha ha ha. And saying, you know, we told you the group would dominate 2013, and now we've got the future of wrestling in the group. And then they went to another video of Garrett Bischoff and Wes Briscoe joining the Aces and Eights. Like, the one video package that kicked off the show wasn't enough. We had to go to another one in mid-promo. This show had moments where I feel like they were really stretching for time. Really stretching for time. TNA had... It's like they taped half of a two-hour show and were like, oh, crap, we need more video packages. I mean, there were a lot of random ones. We got, like, a full replay of the Jeff Hardy injury. Again, we got a... complete... We got another video package of this. We got a full recap of the AJ Styles story in the middle of the show for no reason. TNA was just like, stretch it out! We gotta stretch it out! We have so much! We have so much time to fill and so little to do it. It was a little bit of a bummer. It's nice if you're fast-forwarding through the show, I guess, but if you're trying to watch it straight through, then it kind of turns you off. So Briscoe and Bischoff were then given the reason, or were then given the opportunity to say why they joined the Aces and Eights, and Briscoe cut a really good logical promo. And I wouldn't say it was good as far as, like, wow, that was a great promo. I mean, the delivery and everything was good. But his reason for joining the Aces and Eights? Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal, his reason for joining Aces and Eights. It was that Hulk wouldn't answer his calls, and Hulk told him he had to start at the bottom. And Hulk said, hey, you know, you've got to go with gut check. And he said, you know, a Briscoe starting at the bottom, you know, he talked about his father and, you know, saying his father gave Angle his first pair of wrestling boots. And, you know, loud chance if you can't wrestle after that. If you remember, Garrett Bischoff was in, like, the worst match of last year. Garrett Bischoff and Wes Briscoe had, like, the worst match of last year together. So that's not too complimentary. And, you know, it kind of tells me that the crowd was right. So we continued with the promo, and... Garrett Bischoff basically, before this, gave a to hell with all of you promo. It didn't make a whole lot of, you know, it wasn't as logical as the Wes Briscoe promo, but, you know, it was there. It happened. D-Von then said that Kurt Angle shouldn't even think about coming back to TNA. And this is something that they did really well on this show. They did really well with the D-Von, or Kurt Angle should never come back to TNA, thought. That was a really, really strong, That was a really strong theme throughout the show is Kurt Angle should never come back. Kurt Angle should never come back. Kurt Angle should never come back. And it really built up anticipation for when Kurt Angle does eventually come back. So nice work there. Taz was saying it at the announce desk. D-Von said it in his promo. It was really strongly reinforced. And he talked about how the Aces... D-Von then talked about how the Aces and Eights always have an ace under their sleeve. Wasn't Taz supposed to be the vocal guy for this group? Wasn't he supposed to be, like, the leader on the mic? That's something... excuse me. That's something that I didn't really appreciate with this. And it's kind of a consequence of the UK tour. I don't think Taz went with him overseas. The commentary is obviously overdubbed from the US, both to make it seem more current and to keep, and, you know, probably to keep costs low. That's three overseas flights you're not buying. But at the same time, Taz is the voice of Aces and Eights. I feel like he was brought in to do that. And since Taz is not doing that, I wonder why. Why isn't Taz the voice of Aces and Eights on the air? Why didn't they bring him over after this big heel turn? That's just a major error in what TNA did, and it's a consequence of going overseas, but it really brings the show down a bit. So I feel like it has to be mentioned. Backstage, Tara and Jesse walked into Brooke Hogan's office, said that it was cold and they deserve a first-class flight, basically, and, you know, complained about their flight overseas and all of that. Brooke said she doesn't care, and basically this segment was her banning Jesse from being at ringside with Tara for Tara's match later in the night. Kind of cute, you know, good use of Jesse here, I thought. Jesse actually had a really good showing on this episode, so, but we'll get into that later. Then we got a random exhibition match. Rob Van Dam defended the exhibition title against Zema, Ion, and Kenny King. Really? Oh, okay. Sure, TNA, that's cool. You wouldn't have wanted to promote this on last week's show. Maybe have some promos from Ion and King tonight to get over what the title means to them and to discuss their heel characters. No, let's throw the spot monkeys out there with RVD and let them spot monkey around. That's kind of how this match felt, and it's depressing that TNA does this with the X Division so often. Right now, the X Division is Rob Van Dam beating up the little guys. Like, it might as well be a midget division with King Kong Bundy, the way they're treating it. Although I think those midgets had better characters back in the day. So maybe that would just be inappropriate as well. I was very disappointed in the build-up to this match and kind of the opportunities that King and Ion aren't being given. But the match was fine. Like, it was a fun, action-packed, athletic three-way match. They got, Ion and King got to wrestle for a fair amount of it, which was good. They really needed that. But still, Rob Van Dam was the main character. Rob Van Dam won the match with a 5-star frogs, or, hold on. King hit a Northern Lights suplex on Ion. Van Dam hit a 5-star frog splash on King. And then Van Dam covered Zema Ion to win. You know, basically just a, you know, standard X Division three-way. It was good. Like, it was a good match. It's just, like, if this is on your DVR, it's nothing to go back and watch, unless you're a really big Kenny King, Zema Ion, or Rob Van Dam fan. And even if you're that, there's really no reason to watch this match again. Then we got backstage Austin Aries and Bobby Roode, basically more of their comedy as a team. They did well. They're gelling pretty well as a comedy-slash-serious duo, having fun with each other's catchphrases and each other's, you know, well, you won, you were the longest reigning, yeah, I was the longest reigning champion, I beat you, I ended that title reign and all that. I'm not going to say that their act as a tag team isn't fun, but I will say that there is no top heel in TNA right now, and you put your two top heels in a tag team situation. I get that maybe you feel like you burnt out Jeff Hardy versus both of those guys in the last few months, but they could probably have done a little more to keep those. They probably could have done a little more to keep all of these guys strong and not burnt them out against Jeff Hardy. It's unfortunate to see what that's becoming, and the tag team situation in TNA you know, again, instead of a tag team division, you've got two singles guys teaming up for the tag titles, and they just happen to be your main event heels at the same time. Tanay introduced a video recap of TNA British Boot Camp. This was good. I mean, the show looked fun to watch. This is the only part of British Boot Camp that I've seen, and the show looked very fun to watch. I don't know that I would I don't know how it would do in the U.S. I'd watch it in the U.S. for sure. I'd tune in, put it on the DVR, watch it when I'm bored, whatever. But yeah, I'm not sure that I would, you know, make an appointment viewing unless it was really, really good. They introduced Rockstar Spud later in the night, and I'll get into how I felt about that a little bit later. But this was a fine recap. It looked like a fun show. Backstage, Bruce Pritchard and D'Lo Brown were discussing Garrett Bischoff and Wes Briscoe and their turns. And they said, basically they both just expressed a lot of disappointment over Wes doing this. You know, both of them, well, we've known Wes Briscoe since he was born. We've known him forever. And, oh, it's our fault he's in TNA, and now we have to deal with that. I think it's more just Aces and Eights drama, maybe setting up an eventual D'Lo Brown as an Aces and Eights reveal. I think he's the one who said yes to Wes Briscoe joining the roster. So, yeah, just kind of odd. Jesse stood in the ring, another lack of entrance, although I don't know that Jesse even has an entrance theme. But Jesse hung out in the ring and talked about not getting first-class treatment, being banned from ringside, and he's going to show them a true Hollywood star. It looked like Jesse was going to start maybe posing or whatever. And then James Storm's music played. And James Storm came out and said he didn't pay, or the people didn't pay to take his picture. They paid to see him get beat up. He talked about Tara saving Jesse from the, what is it called? From the last call super kick. And basically said, it's going to happen tonight. And they had a match. And Jesse did get last call super kicked. James Storm beat Jesse in, Jason Powell didn't list the time, and I don't have a stopwatch on me, but pretty quick. And I just wondered, James Storm is in a rivalry with Jesse right now. Again, we talk about TNA and a lack of top guys. Why isn't James Storm one of the dudes in there with why isn't James Storm one of the guys that's in there with the Aces and Eights? Why isn't he Bully Ray's ally in this feud, or, you know, Sting's ally in this feud, or both of their ally in this feud? Like, I think it would be easy to work Bully Ray into this, or James Storm into this situation. But they aren't. They're putting him in a rivalry with Jesse, which just seems weird for a guy who can and should be main eventing. Then we got our fourth match, our third match of the night. It was the tag title match. Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez versus Bobby Roode and Austin Aries. TNA tag titles on the line. A good long match. Couple of commercial breaks in there. But I think just one. Yeah, one right before and then a commercial during the match. A really good tag team match. Easily Chavo and Hernandez's best match as a tag team. I think it really showed what Bobby Roode and Austin Aries can do in the tag division. And they're fine tag team wrestlers. I mean, Bobby Roode, you know, he was an awesome part of Beer Money. There's no reason to believe that he's not a really great tag wrestler. Same thing with Hernandez, in a way. He's a good tag wrestler. Chavo's had some success. Like, the four of them put together a really good match. Fun. A lot of dissension with Bobby Roode and Austin Aries, and forgive me for thinking this. I don't think this is the goal, even. I don't think that TNA Creative saw Daniel Bryan and Kane and said, we have to do this, but it comes off as very much like Daniel Bryan and Kane. A lot like Austin Aries right before Bound for Glory came off a lot like CM Punk dropping pipe bombs, and it's one of those weird things where you go, okay, guys, watch the other show, and don't just make sure not to copy their stories, but make sure you're not unintentionally doing something that's gonna seem like you're copying their stories. And that's, I really believe that's what TNA is doing now. The announcers, of course, discussed Spotted Dick quite a bit throughout the match, like you do when a match is pretty serious and for the tag titles. As it is, that's just kind of the the fact of life, I guess, that the tag titles would, you know, would be involved in the match they bring up Spotted Dick in. I don't get it. But they did get serious about the match at a certain point. Chavo and Hernandez, basically the game was, you know, Chavo would get worked over, Hernandez would come in, overpower whoever the heel he was in the ring with, and then tag Chavo in. Chavo would eventually get worked over. You know, basic formula there. At one point, as the match is ending, Austin Aries and Bobby Roode get into it. Bobby Roode walks out. Austin Aries is almost beat. Then Bobby Roode comes back. Austin Aries is able to, Roode hit the spine buster on Chavo. Then Austin Aries went up top, hit the 450 splash to pin Chavo, capture the tag titles for Roode and Aries. Good match. Really entertaining. Probably the best part of Impact this week. Tied with the main event, actually. Both were pretty good matches. Pretty good, but I still go, why are they in the tag team situation? Like, I turn around and I go, why are Roode and Aries in the tag team situation right now? What is the point of them being in the tag team situation with, what is the point of them being in the tag team situation with other tag teams on the roster and without top heels? I've been over this 1,000 times. I'm sorry. It really burns my bridges. Burns my britches. Makes me upset. Makes me sad. I got nothing. And so then we got a scene between Sting and Brooke Hogan and Bully Ray and Hulk Hogan. And Sting and Brooke Hogan left the room to allow Bully and Hulk to talk. Bully and Hulk, you know, basically it was kind of a, hey, you know, is your head in the game speech from Hulk Hogan. And Bully said, hey, I'm good to your daughter, but I am not a good guy. You need to know that I am not a good guy. And I thought that was great. Mostly because we needed something like that from Bully Ray. Not, you know, not just Hulk needed it, but we really needed it as fans going, is Bully Ray still bad? Like, what's the deal? Is he still the same guy? And this was an opportunity for TNA to show. No, Bully Ray's still the same. He's still the bully. Yeah, I liked it. Then we saw local scenery, and we got a random recap of AJ Styles' situation. I could understand if Styles was coming back, Daniels and Kazarian were maybe mentioned, any of that. But no, this was just, hey, guys, remember, AJ Styles, still a thing. Which is also fine, but it felt like stretching on this show. Then we got Tara versus Tessmacher in a non-title match. And this was just them kind of, you know, it was non-title. Jesse wasn't at ringside. That was the big story. More Spotted Dick jokes. Of course, you carry that over into the Knockouts match. And you got Tara and Jesse, or Tara and Tessmacher having an okay match. Not their best. Still decent. And Tessmacher winning the match with her Tess Slam, Tess Maker. I don't remember what they call her finisher, guys. I'm going to be real, and I'm not going to rewind Impact right now to watch it. I'm sorry. I am bad at what I do. I guess the story then is is Tessmacher getting a Knockouts title shot? That's, I think, where this goes. It's kind of the obvious thing. Maybe Jesse's at ringside. Maybe he's not. You know, we'll see. You know, and it'll be the whole Tara can say it was unfair because Jesse wasn't allowed at ringside. What Jesse needs is that manager's license that Kazarian's got. That's what Jesse needs. Jeremy Borash went to the ring and introduced Rockstar Spud, the TNA British Boot Camp winner. And as much as I enjoyed the recap of British Boot Camp, I really think we should have had a video package on Rockstar Spud. Show me his signature moves. Show me, you know, tell me his story. Give me, you know, almost a gut check video package on this guy. Talk about him. Talk about him a lot. Spud should have been a focus. Spud. What a terrible name, by the way. Rockstar Spud. That's a creator wrestler name that someone makes up for the guy that they're going to beat in every match to get their experience level up on WWE 13. Rockstar Spud is not a wrestler's name. And I know that's unfair of me to say, but I'm not a fair guy. I don't wear a white hat, as Arn Anderson would say. I try to use that quote a lot in real life. I don't wear a white hat, and no one gets it. And, you know, it kind of bums me out. I really like that quote. It's actually one of my favorites in wrestling history. We're not nice guys. We don't wear white hats. Nope. Can't Can't get it done. Apparently, I'm meant to wear a white hat. I look bad in hats, by the way. It's not a good situation. I look like I have a horse face. Jeremy Borash introduced Rockstar Spud. Spud was just kind of like, you blew the roof off this building. Thanks for being here. I'm happy to be here. He started to leave, just kind of a quick introduction thing. And when he started to leave, we got Robbie E. and Robbie G. coming out. And Robbie E. kind of insulted Spud, said he's little, which, first thing when you introduce a guy, and Spud's pretty short, but the first thing when you introduce a guy, you mention, oh, by the way, he's really, really small. You know, compared to, like, your X-Division dudes, he's small. I don't know that that was a smart choice either. You know, talking about TNA not making wise choices, I don't think that was the best choice to go, oh, and he's small. But maybe they're just trying to get it out of the way. And this became, Robbie E. kind of going, oh, this country's full of losers, except for Big Robbie. And it kind of became him unintentionally insulting Big Robbie, which led to Big Robbie dropping the clipboard and kind of allowing Rockstar Spud to knock Robbie E. out of the ring. At that point, it was... Rob Spud and Robbie T., did the metal horns to celebrate, which I guess is Spud's thing. An okay debut for Spud, like I said. I don't like that they called him short. I don't like that they are... I really don't like that they're... really calling attention to him being little... I don't like his name. I should mention that. They shouldn't have let him on TV with that name on the British Boot Camp show. Call him, Johnny Curtis. I don't know. That name's taken, obviously, but just give him a generic name. It's going to be better than Rockstar Spud. Then we got backstage Sting, Bully Ray, and Brooke Hogan talking, and, Brooke Hogan was like, go get him tonight, Bully! Which was cute and kind of obnoxious. I don't know that fans are going to buy into that all the time. The go get him tonight, Bully thing was not the best idea. But then Sting was like, let's go, let's do this. You ready? Are you ready? And Bully Ray, mentioned getting the war paint on. And Bully Ray decided to paint up like he did for Bound for Glory. I liked that. Bully Ray with face paint makes me smile, not going to lie. Then we got a recap of Jeff Hardy being attacked by the Aces and Eights with a hammer. And Tanay said, the MRI showed no damage. And if I'm a fan in the UK, now I'm super pissed. Because the MRI showed no damage, but then why the hell isn't he here? Yeah, TNA should probably just say, hey, Jeff Hardy, legal issues, couldn't cross the border, we're real sorry we advertised him, fans, here's some refunds, or, a free t-shirt. T-shirts are good. Then we got the main event, Sting and Bully Ray versus D-Von and Doc in a tables match. I am convinced that they advertised this as Sting and Bully Ray against Aces and Eights in a tables match, because they kind of had a self-realization that, man, we've got a really weak roster over on the Aces and Eights side of things. Maybe we should just call it Aces and Eights and, let the mystique of being a group kind of, let the mystique of the group kind of overpower the sucktasticity of its members. But at the same time, D-Von and Doc, they've got history there, so you can kind of see it both ways, but I think they probably made the right choice by just saying Aces and Eights. This was Aces and Eights getting beat again. A few of your stereotypical table spots. Mike Knox interfered and moved a table when Sting was about to put Doc through it. In the end, we got the big Bully get the tables moment. It went over a lot better here than it did at, when was it? Bound for Glory when they did the get the tables moment, Sting and Bully Ray. And I think the reason it went over better here is they each shoved each other, then counted to three to cue the fans that it was time to say it. And the fans said it on cue. They said it on cue. That was a fun moment. But this was painted up Sting and painted up Bully Ray beating the Aces and Eights in 14:05. Ray, in the end, hulked up. Did the, the punches, the point, the big boot, and then picked up D-Von, was it? Yeah, D-Von, and slammed him through the table to win the match for his team. So, Aces and Eights lose again. That's just kind of what they do, right? After the match, instead of the Aces and Eights running in and, you know, trying to get their heat back, TNA just said, meh, we give up. And had Bully and had Hulk Hogan and Brooke Hogan run out, and Brooke and Bully Ray hugged, and Hulk and Singh pointed to the happy couple. Which was cute. Don't know that it was the best ending, but it was cute. I just kind of wonder what TNA is doing. Like, what's the point of Aces and Eights at this moment? They're not getting heat. They're not doing anything, really. What's the point of Bully Ray being in that feud? Is he still in that feud? Hulk said something about this being the end. Was this the end of Bully Ray and Aces and Eights? What does he do going into lockdown then? I figured it was a lock that we're going to have Sting and Bully Ray captaining and leave the lockdown team. Does this mean that we won't? That's kind of weird. It's an odd use of those guys. TNA's doing some weird stuff right now, guys. That's kind of the best way that I can put it, is TNA is doing some weird, weird stuff. Uneven storytelling. I think the whole Aces and Eights saga, they need to bring it to an end soon. Find another story to tell. You know, make Lethal Lockdown the end. Lead to that big moment. Make Lethal Lockdown the end. Figure out a way to keep the good guys in that group on your roster, however you want to, but conclude this thing. It's time to wrap it up. It's been time to wrap it up, actually. That's going to do it for me this week. Like I said, an uneven episode of Impact. You had some good, but it ultimately felt like a house show. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for listening to the All Access side of things. You know, we appreciate what you guys do, too. Hit us up on the app. Hit us up on the website. Try out .NET membership if you're thinking about it, because it's totally worth it, especially this time of year. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend, everybody.